And here goes. God, what does he do at the Tower of Babel? He confuses all of their languages. That's where all of us come to today here at San Jose Bible Baptist Church. We all come from different backgrounds and nations because God, he just scattered the languages. Because he said, no, you're not going to unite. You're going to divide. Yeah. You know why? Our God is all for rightly dividing.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Not all for uniting.
Yeah.
He's all for dividing. So then all of mankind scatters. There goes their one world government, new world order. Messed up. And then those people, God's like, well, you know, those people are messing up. I got to do something here. Well, I can't drown the whole world, so let me start with Abraham, a new nation. Let's start a brand new nation. Let's resort to that. So then God starts a brand new nation with Abraham. And you know what mankind learned? They never learn. They never learn. You know what Abraham does? He lied. How many times? He lied again, too. He lied twice. He lied about his wife. Oh, she's my sister, not my wife. What are you talking about, Pastor? Because when Abraham was living in a foreign land, he was afraid that they would kill him so that the king can marry his wife. So Abraham lied about his wife twice. One of the kings was actually sincere in heart, and he had no idea. And then God told the king, hey, you're a dead man. And the king's like, why, God? And God said, well, because you took another man's wife. And the king said, did not Abraham say that she's my sister? And so this pagan king actually had more sense than Abraham, because the Philistine king told Abraham, man, you're supposed to be a prophet, and you lied about your wife being your sister, and I almost messed up. What did you do to us? Please pray over us. Some prophet you are. Some prophet Abraham was. What a great founder of a new nation God provided. That he would lie twice. What a great testimony that he ruined in front of pagan people. And isn't that like us Christians today, where there are pagan people pointing out our flaws? Oh, some Christian you are, some Bible believer you are. Is that what Bible believers do? Is that what they do? Oh, I didn't see you go to church that day. Oh, why? What happened? I saw you, you know, just cussing just now. I thought you were a saved Christian. Oh, you know, I thought that you're all about abstaining from the world. What's this that I see in your room? What's that that I see in your car? And what's that you're watching over there? Oh, I see on your shelf. You see that? Sometimes pagans have better sense than some Christians. And sometimes pagans live better than some Christians. If you won't go out soul winning, then Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses will knock on every door if you don't. If you won't sing with all of your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, those Pentecostals and Charismatics, they'll speak in tongues and they'll pour out their heart. You got to realize this, folks, is that sometimes pagan and lost people have better sense than some Christians today. And here you are, you ruined your testimony, you ruined your life again. And you know what God does? God says, I gave an eternal promise that's without condition. It's an unconditional covenant. You know what anti-dispensationalists like to say? No, add a condition. No, not with Abraham. God gave an unconditional promise. I'm going to use your nation. You know what God gave to you and I? An unconditional promise.
Amen.
That he gave a promise that this group, this nation, will persevere, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against him.
Amen.
You know what? The gates of hell, they have persecuted God's nation. And I'm talking about the spiritual nation, the church. God has made the church stand strong. They tried to eliminate God's church throughout ancient pagan Rome, throughout Roman Catholic Rome, throughout the time periods where America and all the nations start to fall apart into the ecumenical movement, into modernism, to German rationalism.
Yeah.
And then God Almighty was just behind the scenes, and that church still marched on. You know what? He gave an unconditional promise. He gave an unconditional promise. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He gave an unconditional promise. The church will be raptured up to heaven before that new world order comes. He gave an unconditional promise. The church will still march on.
Amen.
Hey, man, you might not come back to church. You might fall apart. This church might fall apart. But there will still be some Bible-believing church out there who will raise their King James Bible up on high, rightly dividing the word of truth and preaching the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
God gave an unconditional promise. Aren't you glad that God always got your back when you fall? And then guess what? Then you go to Isaac. And guess what? Isaac messes up. He lied too about his wife to a king. You know why? Because he's following his daddy's footsteps. And then Jacob was even worse than Isaac, because this guy was a professional liar. He didn't just lie once or twice. He was a professional liar. He deceived his father. He deceived his brother. He made sleazy deals. And then God made him reap what he sowed. He made Jacob's uncle pull lies and tricks on Jacob. You know what that is? That's mankind. That's where you mess up like Abraham. Guess what? Your son will mess up too. Your daughter, your children will mess up. And then by the time you hit the third generation, it's really bad. And then when you hit the fourth generation, they're probably lost and they're not saved. Have you ever seen a Christian generation going back 3-4 generations strong? Or have you seen like a deteriorating phase with every generation? You know what? You don't learn. I'm still stuck at Genesis, folks. You don't learn. Mankind never learned their lesson. I told you I'm going to enjoy today's sermon. Yeah, I'm talking trash about mankind today. Because if you don't live right for God, your next generation is going to be worse than you. And then your third generation is going to be far worse than you. And probably your fourth generation is lost and going to hell. And your second and third generation don't know how to witness to them. And they're going to probably have to ask you to teach them how to soul win. Or maybe you still don't know how to soul win yet.
Come on.
And you're going to have to call your pastor who's probably dead a long time ago. What happened? This is mankind. This is mankind. This is mankind always messing up. But you know what God did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What he did was he kept them going. What he did was he kept increasing them. They were in the land of Egypt, and Egypt represents the world. And as those Jews were in the land of Egypt, God made them increase. God made them fruitful. God multiplied them. As the book of Genesis ended with Joseph in a coffin in Egypt, God still blessed and increased the nation of Israel. You know, Judah messed up. He committed incest within the family. And then there was so many messed up sins with Reuben sleeping with one of his father's wives. It was such a messed up sin. The brothers turned against Joseph and sold him into slavery. What a wicked generation. And then you know what God did? He preserved that nation. He increased that nation. He used their sin for his good. And then what happened? Well, the land of Egypt put Israel, the Jews, through bondage for several hundred years. And so then God says, well, I'm going to have to send them Moses to deliver them. And you know what? I can see the Jews always messing up, messing up, messing up. I mean, from Abraham to now, they're just living real wicked. I'm going to have to set down rules now. Let's start a new dispensation. We're going to do the law right here. And I'm going to send down every specific rule. That way they can follow the rules. Maybe that will make things better. And God made rules and laws that would help his people, that would increase their nation in prosperity. God promising, I'm going to give you the promised land. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to multiply. You're going to conquer nations. You're going to become strong. And here are the Jews all excited. Here are the Jews saying, yes, let's go to the promised land. I can't wait for a new kingdom. We're going to be the most powerful nation in the world. I can't wait. And guess what the Jews do? What did men learn? They mess up. What do? You brought us out here in the wilderness to die. What are all these rules for? Oh, I don't like these rules. We want a king like all the other nations. Yeah. Oh, woe is me. Woe is this. Oh, we should have died. Let's go back to Egypt. Egypt, Egypt. And that just made God even more ticked. Because he's like, I delivered you from Egypt. And you want to go back to Egypt. I'm going to annihilate you. I'm fed up with mankind. I mean, ever since Adam, stupid humanity just never learned their lesson. I'm just going to wipe them all out. Moses, I'm just going to start brand new with just you, Joshua, and Caleb. That's it. I'm going to wipe them all out. And then Moses is like, no, Lord. Think of your glory, Lord. Think of what those Egyptians might say when you kill all of them. And God's like, okay, I'll let them go. And his mercy and grace continued with those Jews. And then you know what he did with those Jews? Those Jews, they entered into the promised land. They started conquering nations through Joshua. And they got the promised land where they can live in peace and harmony. And God's mercy was upon them. But year after year, decade after decade, century after century, those Jews kept messing up over and over and over again. And then God's like, well, I will send you judges then. So he sent them a judge. But every time a judge died, the children of Israel repeated back to their sin. And then God had to punish them. And then after God punished them, the Jews said, okay, Lord, we'll get right with you. And God's like, okay, I'll send you another judge. And so the judge helps them out. But after the judge dies, guess what the Jews do? They go back into sin again. Then what does God do? He punishes them again. And what does God, what do the children of Israel do? We repent, we get right with you. And God's like, okay, I'll send you another judge. And then you go through the book of Judges. And when you read the book of Judges, it's a cycle over and over and over and over again. And you know who that is a picture of? You.
Yeah, come on.
That is you. God will send you a judge to lead you right. Let's go out soul winning. And he'll preach a sermon to get you right with God and stir up the church. But when the judge dies, when the judge is not there in the house with you, then what do? Oh, you go back into sin. You repeat a cycle all over again. And it's like that God has to send you a judge to keep you going.